John, chapter number 1, where we left off last week. We said last week the epistle of 1 John deals with fellowship in the truth. Actually, in my opinion, all three of his epistles deal with the same predominant theme, but from different angles, fellowship in the truth. And we've been talking about, in chapter number 1, prerequisites to fellowship. Now, fellowship, as we said, is a joint participation or partnership of two or more parties around the same thing which they all have in common. So, in other words, we have a partnership together with God based upon something we have in common. Amen. We have fellowship together tonight based upon something which we have in common. We may have different likes and dislikes, different hobbies amongst us, but there's one thing that we as the people of God share, and that's His divine nature and His Spirit that abides in us. So that's why we gather around to fellowship. Last week we talked about prerequisite number 1, which was the advent of the Son. The advent of God's Son that gave Himself upon Calvary's tree. All through the Old Testament, man met God through sacrifices of animals. All of them portrayed in pictures of His Son, Jesus, who would die for us one day on Mount Moriah, as Abraham offered Isaac, a type and a shadow of our Savior. And man never had a genuine fellowship with God like you and I enjoy tonight, until the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested as Son of Man, Son of God, gave Himself a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Based upon that sacrifice tonight, we have fellowship. If it wasn't for that sacrifice and His first advent almost 2,000 years ago, wouldn't be no need of us meeting here tonight. But because He gave Himself for us, we're able to meet tonight, have fellowship around the cross of Calvary. Tonight, let's begin reading. Let's go ahead and start back up in verse number 1. John said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. That's where we left off last week. We're going to begin this week in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Just in those 7 verses we read, you noticed the word fellowship several times, didn't you? The theme of the epistle we're talking about here. And tonight we're going to continue along that line. We said last week, that one of the prerequisites to our fellowship was based upon the advent of His Son. Tonight we're going to talk about an agreement with the standard. The prophet Amos in the Old Testament said, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so God has a standard tonight, and the only way we can have fellowship or walk with God is that we are in agreement with Him concerning that standard of righteousness, that standard for a holy, godly life that He has for us. And that's where what our fellowship revolves around, is walking in that light. So in verse number 5 there, He said, this then is the message which we have heard of Him. So we want to talk about the message of that standard. He said, this is the message that we received from Jesus Christ while He was alive on this earth. Now remember, the Apostle John was the last living apostle, the last disciple that was alive at that time that had partaken in the ministry of Christ when he was here. And I said last week that it was some 30 years later, but actually it was closer to 60 years. It was almost 60 years later that he began to write this epistle. And he's telling these people in the face of error, doctrinal error, and departing from the faith, he's saying, listen, I've got a message for you, and it's the same message which we received from Him while He was upon this earth. He said, this then is the message we have heard, which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So what is the message He's declaring to him here in the face of darkness in this world? He said that God is light. God is light. You go back to the to John's Gospel, and we see there many times that Jesus referred to Himself as light and as life. Now, John describes God, or not describes, he defines God 3 ways in this epistle. First of all, here tonight, he defines God as light.
He doesn't say God is a light. He doesn't say God is the light, although that may apply. But he says that God is light. Later on, we'll find out that he says that God is love. Not that God has the ability to love or the ability to share love, but that God's essence and definition is love. Then also, he defines God as this. He says, God is life. We find those three definitions of God in the Epistle of John here. And so, he said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In John chapter 1, verse 4, he said, in him, was life, and that life was the light of men. The light. You know, I was reading an article the other day, and scientists really haven't come up with a good definition of what light is. They don't know whether to call it matter, energy, heat. They don't know exactly how to define light. But there's one thing they do know about light, that there is no survival without light. You know, I remember when we studied science in the science class in high school, we had to learn the colors of the spectrum. How many of you remember how you remember those colors of the spectrum? The name Roy G. Biv. Red, orange, green. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet were the colors of the spectrum. And all light, the light that's coming in these windows and that white light, all have those colors of the spectrum involved in that white light. But if you remember in your science class also, they taught you that black was a reflection of no color of the spectrum. It was the absolute absence of color altogether. And so we see in light the very reflection of everything that magnifies and glorifies God. Well, the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. So he says God is light. And that is the message. Now remember, we have some false prophets. We have some of those who are saying that matter is evil, and because your body is made up of matter, it doesn't matter what your body does, it matters what your soul, what your spirit does. And so some of them were feeding the flesh, and some of them were living a fleshly life and saying that they were fellowshipping with God. And so John declares here, he says, I'm going to declare a message to you that Jesus Christ declared himself as the light of the world, that God is light. And he was made manifest to reveal the Father to man. And so the first thing we've got to come to agreement about, my friend, is this message here, that God is light, and in him dwells no darkness whatsoever. None at all. Now, what do we think of whenever we see light? First of all, to me, light pictures radiance. I mean a physical light. If you'll go over to 1 Timothy chapter 6, you'll find there that Paul describes God the Father as indwelling in light, to which no man can approach. The Bible says, God himself said in the Old Testament, no man can see my face and live. He died. God is so holy, so separate from man, even in his regenerate state, that man cannot approach the light wherein God dwells. Jesus said, no man has seen the Father at any time. No man can approach that light. And in the Old Testament, God was pictured as dwelling in fire. Moses saw him in a burning bush. Abraham, when he established the covenant, when God established the covenant with him, they parted the pieces of the animal, and God passed through in a light and a fire. And that was the way that God was revealed unto them. But until Jesus Christ was manifest, the man had very little knowledge of exactly what God was about. But the Bible declares that Jesus was the manifest image and glory of God in the flesh. And so, he revealed to us that God is light. But he's not only physical light, but he's also a revealing light. As soon as this sun goes down, we can come in this building. We wouldn't know who was sitting here. I may be able to make out your images, but I probably wouldn't be able to see your faces until we turn the light on. And then it would reveal to me just who you are and who all was here. And so light reveals things. Amen? And so there we see the manifestation of the intellectual or the truth unto man. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. So Jesus was the manifestation of the light of the glory of God and the revelation of the truth of God. When he stood before Pilate, said, what is truth? He was looking at truth and didn't even realize it. Amen? So the light is a revealer. I remember one time we had a fire, and I didn't do a whole lot. I was just pumping and fooling around there. And when we got back to the station, I washed my hands up, and I even ate dinner, and wasn't paying no attention, and I went into the bathroom, turned the light on, and my face was black right across here. I'd been walking around for a good while with black smut all over my face and didn't even know it. But when I went in there and looked in the mirror and turned the light on, it revealed that I was dirty. And the light of God, the light that is God, reveals man in his natural state, reveals him to be a sinner. Unclean, undone, condemned, dying, damned to a devil's hell unless something happens. Amen. And so the light of God not only is a radiance physical light, but it also is a revealing light of truth. When we talk about light, we talk about the Word of God. The psalmist said that His Word was a lamp unto His feet and a light unto His path. It was His guide, in other words. Amen. So the light of God can function for us a whole lot of ways. It can lead us. It can guide us. It can reveal truth unto us. Let us see it as we are. It can magnify God Himself inasmuch as a mortal man can receive Him. I've got news for you. I don't care if you've been saved 25 years, 50 years. You still ain't ready to see God in this natural body. You'll drop like a rock. You just can't do it. Amen. We'll get a body one day. We'll be able to stand that glory of God. We'll be able to stand in His presence then. Not only does light represent a revelation, but it also represents righteousness in the Bible. The purity or the holiness which is God. And that's what Paul said when he was writing Timothy concerning the light. He said, no man can approach it. Why not? Because no man had the righteousness to approach God that was in that light. But Jesus, being made in the form of a man, dying upon the cross in the place of man, opened the gateway for lost, condemned man to approach God once again and to have fellowship with Him. So what he's saying here is, I've got news for you that are living unpure lives, and you who are teaching false doctrine, God is light. And that's the message of the standard. And if you get that wrong, then you're in a mess. And he said, in Him is no darkness at all. Now, darkness in the Bible is a picture of a man without God. He's pictured as walking in darkness. He's pictured as siding with the forces of darkness in this world, the rulers of darkness, the enemy of God. So, darkness pictures a man that is without God. Now, you remember in the book of Genesis, whenever Adam ate of the tree, partook of it, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his eyes were open, and supposedly he was enlightened as the devil promised him. It was a lie. And there he was, a man who had disobeyed God, rebelled against God, and done opposite of that which God had commanded him to do. God comes walking through the garden. God finds him, hunts him out, prepares him a coat of skins for a covering. But then God makes a statement there. He says, we're going to have to do something, because if we don't, Adam is going to partake of also the tree of life, and he'll live forever. Now, what was God talking about there? God was saying that Adam could not live in this dark state wherein he had fallen to. He had not died a physical death. God said, the day you eat of that tree, you shall die. And he died spiritually that very day. He was alienated from God that very day. And he began to progressively die physically from that point on. And he was separated from God. God said, we've got to put him out of the garden, lest he partake of the tree of life and live forever in this state of darkness. Brother, God didn't want man to do that. And that's not God's desire for us tonight, to live in a state of darkness and ignorance of God and separation from Him. He wants to give us eternal life. But in Him is no darkness at all. God cannot tolerate darkness. Now, whenever there's darkness, you just light a match, you light a candle, the smallest little light, and it will overcome the darkness. Isn't that right? There could be a total eclipse outside, every light on here in here be off, and it'd be pitch black. But the least little old match you light is going to overcome the darkness in this room. And once you light that match, there's no amount of darkness you can bring in to this building to overcome that light. There's no way you can do it. One night we got stuck on the Little Biloxi River fishing. We let time get away from us, and we got trapped on that thing. And I've never seen black like I saw that night. But you know, when it finally got so dark that I couldn't see my hand in front of my face, I looked at the edge of the water, and there I could see little green dots. And I'm not sure what it was to this day. But we could see the edge of the Little Biloxi River going through them woods in that darkness. by little green dots. I don't know if it's spider eyes or what it was. The reason I tell you that is it was so black I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. My buddy couldn't see me. We couldn't see each other. We were, our motivation
was left up to our feeling senses. We had to crawl through that water in that swamp. And it was scary.
But those little eyes helped us find our way out of whatever they were. What I'm trying to tell you is, in total darkness, even the little glow of a spider's eye or anything will overcome that darkness. And you can follow a path. Amen? So, the light, which is God, has overcome darkness. There's no way that darkness can overcome God's light. What we have to do is just be sure that we will absorb the light. Make it a part of us. Amen. Now, you're going to go one way or the other. And that's what John was trying to tell these Gnostics. He said, listen, if a man is living in darkness, then he knows he's not living the way God wants him to because God is light. And that's the message that he's trying to get him to see. And a man will become, his nature will become like that of his God. The God that he worships or whatever he worships, that's what he's going to become life. Amen? I mean, you take a man that all he loves in life is fishing, and brother, all he can talk about when you get around him is fishing. All he studies and all he puts his money into is fishing. Same thing. A man with hunting or anything, they're both good, but what I'm trying to tell you is what a man worships is exactly what he becomes like. I mean, America worships the dollar bill, and what has it become? It has become an economic conglomerate. I've never in my life seen so many commercials for investment companies. And what you can do with your money. When I was a child, when you would watch television, you would see Ovaltine or Tide washing powders or palm olive soap, and you would see stuff like that. I don't ever remember as a child people advertising on TV for you to take their stock company and let them invest your money for you. But today, America's God has become the dollar bill, and we've become a nation that's like a bunch of coins floating around. All we think about is money. Amen. And so the message of the standard is that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Jesus said, while I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But He also told them, ye are the light of the world. And whenever the light was gone, they became the light of the world. The only light the world sees today is the light that it sees in you and I. The days of revelation and prophecy are over with. There is no new revelation. There's no new prophecy. There's still prophecy from this book to be fulfilled. The light that this world sees, it sees in you and me. Next, we look in verse 6, we see the meaning of the standard. This is what he's getting to. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Huh? There's that word fellowship. He's saying, if we say that we are in a partnership or we are participating in common with God, and we walk in darkness, we are lying, and we do not the truth. Now, you know what I thought about when I read this? I said, I remember James and John, the two brothers. John becoming the apostle of love, Jesus called him a son of thunder. And we read in his epistle so much about love, and he talks so much about the love of God. But yet, whenever he comes to the Gnostics, you can see the thunder come back out of him again. And he says, listen, if you say that you are in partnership or participating with God and having fellowship with Him, and you're walking in darkness, you're a liar. Now, that's pretty strong talk. I mean, if a preacher gets up today and he tells somebody they're a liar, he's prone to get run off, voted out, tarred and feathered, railroaded down the road, get away from here, amen. But John said, listen, God is light, and if you profess to be having fellowship with God, partaker with Him, and you're walking in darkness, somebody's wrong. God or you one? He said, you're the liar, and not God. He said, that's the meaning of this standard. Huh? The light and the dark. He said, if we say we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in the darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. Now, the first step in your Christian experience, after you get saved, after you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, accepting the fact that He died for your sins in your place, He was raised the third day, declared to be the Son of God, making Him Lord of your life, after you get saved, the first step in your Christian experience is to learn how to fellowship with God. Huh? I mean, even when you have a little baby, a baby born in this world knowing its mama right off the bat, as it grows, begins to learn to participate with its mama. I mean, it's a training experience. It's a growing experience together there. And after you get saved, the first thing you've got to learn how to do, really, is to fellowship with God. Huh? You're going to have to learn to fellowship. You're going to have to learn what it is like to be in communion with God. And that's really what the Word pictures there. Because you see, you can have union with God, you can be saved, but yet not have communion with God. In other words, you can be a child of God, you can have a relationship with God without having fellowship with God. How do you do that? Because you can walk in darkness, you can have sin in your life that separates you and God, and you cannot have fellowship with Him as a child of God until that is taken care of. Now what he's talking about here in verse 6 is somebody who does not have fellowship with God. Pure and simple. He said, you say you have fellowship with God, but you're walking in darkness. You're a liar. You do not have fellowship with God. Now that word walk has a tense about it, which means a habitual, continual walking in darkness. Now what's he saying there? I love the language of the Bible. He's saying that a man whose habits and his characteristic is to always live in sin is not a saved man. Because God's light, he cannot do that. He cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with God. Huh? Paul said, what communion, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Huh? It doesn't have any. And he said, if your pattern of life is to just live in a sinful state for yourself, the problem is you've never been saved. That you're lying, you're living a lie, and you do not the truth. The thing we have to be careful of is that we walk in the light which we have received from Him. And if you're not walking in that light, then you're not living a truthful life. And we're just simply making an empty profession. Now, whenever you don't walk in, now listen. When we talk about walking in the light, He doesn't say here that you walk according to a pattern of rules and regulations in order to be in the light. That's the wrong concept that we get. We say, well, He means if I walk in the light, then it means that I walk in what I have received from God and the commandments and the knowledge of things that I have in Him. I walk in those in order to stay in the light. But that's really not the picture that the Bible paints. The commandments are important. We're going to find that out in 1 John. But walking in the light is not a dot per dot pattern path, but it is a walking in continual fellowship and relationship with God. You understand what I'm saying? We try to say that we're in the light because we walk and we do this right here, we stay in the light, but that's not what it is. If you walk in the light, then you walk a certain way. That's what John's saying. Huh? You cannot walk in the light without it having a result on your life. You've heard me say it before. If what you got, whenever you got saved, didn't make a change in your life, then you didn't get anything. You didn't get anything. And a man can say, now I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start trying to do right. And he goes and he comes and walks down the aisle, shakes the preacher's hand, says a few words, signs a card, goes and jumps in the pool, joins in on the thing, he begins to live by the Ten Commandments. He says, I'm going to walk this way, I'm going to walk that way. And he never, ever walked in the light. You see what I'm saying? The light is not the Ten Commandments. Now, there's light in the Ten Commandments, don't get me wrong. But God is light. And when you walk in the light, you're walking in a fellowship and in relationship with Him that causes you to act and go a certain way. And causes you to perform a Christian experience before the world. And so you begin to walk according to His commandments, not because you set out to do that, but it became a natural thing for you to do because you were walking in the light. You had a contact and a relationship with God. Now we can get as a church covenant and plaster it on the wall, and we can abide by those rules, and that'll make us no more Christian than Adam's house cat. Huh? How does the world see the light? They see the light as you're walking in the light. And if you're not walking in the light, you're not able to broadcast that light out to the world. And he said, if you're walking in darkness, and there's no light coming from you, it's evidence to everybody that you don't have fellowship with God because they can't see God in the light that's in your life. Huh? So we need to be careful that we know just what the light is. Now, what does a fellow lose if he doesn't walk in the light? First of all, he loses the word. Look what he says. He said we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. He didn't say that we didn't know the truth. He said that we're not doing the truth. There's a big difference. A man can know he ought to do right and not do it. Matter of fact, I'll go so far as to say most people know they ought to do right, but they're not doing it. Isn't that the truth? Bottom line is most people don't do exactly what they want to do. And a man walk apart from the light of God shining in his soul, then brother, he's going to have a problem walking straight. He's going to lose the word of God in his heart. And he's not going to be able to walk the way God wants him to walk in this world. And so he's going to begin not doing the truth. He's going to lose that ability to perform the truth. Second of all, he loses fellowship with God and his people. Now remember, he said in this verse, a man just said he had fellowship. Didn't say he had it. Huh? And you can be a saved person tonight, and you can get out here and get hard-headed and decide you're going to do something whether God likes it or not, brother, and you can get outside that light of God, and you're going to lose fellowship with God. And you know what the next step is when you lose fellowship with God? You lose it with your fellow man. Huh? You lose it with your fellow man. I know a relative of mine worked with a man who was a preacher for so many years. I'm not sure how many years it was. And he said, this man, all of a sudden he quit the church. I don't know what he said. He didn't know what happened in his life. But anyway, he stopped having anything to do with the church. Said it wasn't long after that that he just began to curse and talk just any old way. He became mean and he became ornery. Now what happened? He caused something in his life to cause him to get out of walking in the light. And so he lost his fellowship with God. And when he lost that fellowship with God, pretty soon it began to affect his fellowship even with mankind. Huh? Well, I want to tell you something. There ain't nothing on the face of this earth making you more bitter than a bad religious experience. There ain't nothing that'll stick in your craw any worse or any sorer than a good bloody church fight. You talk about getting bitter. I know it happened to me. And it's easy to get bitter, and it's easy to say, well, I'll tell you what, I can live without that. And brother, whenever you get out of walking in the light and you allow this bitterness to overcome you, I know what I'm talking about. Then it begins to affect your relationship with man. It'll affect your relationship with your family, with your wife. Everything for you as a child of God revolves around you walking in the light. And if you cease to walk in that light, you're going to lose fellowship with your brother and your sister after you lose it with God. Huh? Boy, I tell you what, we have a lot of people sitting in the church pews today who have lost their fellowship with God because they refuse to continue walking in that light. They've become hard-hearted and hard-headed. And brother, all they are is a sore in the church and a thorn in the preacher's side. I mean, they could at least be graceful enough to get up and get out until they get their heart right and quit causing trouble. Amen? Huh? But they can't sit there out of fellowship with God long. They've either got to get it right or they're going to start picking on those who are walking in the light. Huh? Brother, you lose fellowship with God, you're fixing to lose fellowship with your fellow man, with God's people, with God's people. Thirdly, he'll begin to lose his character. He begins telling this lie of saying, I'm in fellowship with God, when he's not. Before long, he finds his life being turned into a lie. The end result, himself being a liar, his whole character will begin to change. Amen? Huh? Hey, my character changed when I got saved. But I've got news for you. If I don't walk in the light, my character can change again. And it will when I get outside the light. You see, everybody thinks that when they get out of fellowship with God, nobody knows about it. Huh? But somebody else who's walking in the light, he can tell. That something's wrong there. Something's wrong, and they need something in their life. They need to get back in the fellowship, huh? Why? Because their character begins to change.
Hey, you can't hide. I can't hide it whenever I get mad. And I can't hide my feelings. If I ever get mad at you, you won't have no trouble knowing it because I can't hide it. I can shut my mouth, but you'll see it on my face. I can't hide it. Same way it is with a person who gets out of fellowship with God and ceases to walk in the light.
You can see it on their face. Huh? If you're in the light, you know what it's like. You've been there. You are there, and you see there's something missing in that life. You know what I thought about Moses when he went up on the mountain. He came down after 40 days, 40 nights being with God. He got so close to God in His glory that his own face was shining. Like it scared the people to death. My. How sad today whenever we cease to walk in that light and we lose our fellowship with God. The result is we lose our fellowship with the church. You know what the next step is? If you don't respond to God's call, next thing gonna happen, if you don't stay and stir up a storm, you're gonna fall out. You'll begin to miss this service. And after a while you begin to miss this service. And you knew you ought not done it, you know that you really should have been there. You needed to be there. But the longer you do it, the easier it gets. The easier it gets. And pretty soon, you're completely out of fellowship with the church, with your brothers and sisters. Listen, I've seen men shake hands and hug necks for years. And 1 year later, be despising each other. You believe that? In churches. Huh? Hey, if you like to fight, church house is a good place to be. There's plenty of them go on. God's just looking for somebody that's hard-headed enough just to stand. Not worry about it. Keep on going, huh? You see, you think you had a few battles before you got saved. You're going to have some battles after you get saved, amen. You like old, watch his name on the boat, said, I've just begun to fight. Who was it? John Paul Jones, what was his name? It's been a long time since I studied all that. He said, if you're not walking in the light, then that you're walking in darkness, and you're a liar if you say you have fellowship with Him.
And he's directing it to these Gnostics. He's saying, you're living like the devil. You're claiming to be so spiritual, but yet you're
claiming to have fellowship with God, living like the devil. And that's a contradiction. It cannot be. And you're a liar. You're living a lie. And you're becoming a lie within yourself. Huh? Well, that was John's number one enemy, were the Gnostics. He was constantly fighting them. The meaning of the standard is, if we say we're fellowshipping with God, walking in darkness, then we're lying. Now, look at verse number 7. Let's look at the miracle of the standard. He said, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a miracle. Huh? He said in verse 6, He pointed out those who do not have fellowship with God. Now in verse 7, He's pointing out those who do have fellowship with God. Who has fellowship with God? The man that is walking in the light. Huh? The man that is walking in the light. Now we get two things as a result of walking in the light, and both of them to me are miracles. Number one, we get fellowship with God. Look what he said. We walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We get the miracle of fellowship with God Almighty, and we get the miracle of the cleansing of our sin. He didn't say forgiveness here. He said, cleansing from our sin. Huh? I got news for you. Miss Ann can hit me upside the head with a skillet, and I have a big bruise. Or a knot on the side of my head. And I can say, well, I forgive you, but I'm still toting around a knot. A big bruise. Cleansing will remove that knot. Huh? You see, whenever God forgives your sin, He not only forgives that sin, He has the ability to cleanse that sin. And that is the miracle. Anybody can say, I forgive you. And it'd be easy for God just to say, I forgive you your sin. But brother, it took a miracle to cleanse you of your sin. Huh? He said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now in the original language, that phrase one with another is one word. It is what is known as a reciprocating pronoun. You know what a reciprocating saw is? It has one blade and it goes in and out, back and forth, back and forth. And that pronoun simply means this. That not only do we have fellowship with God, but wonder of wonder and miracle of miracles, God of glory has fellowship with us. Now we could get here and have a great ceremonialistic and ritualistic service and say that we're fellowshipping with God and worshiping God. But neighbor, it's something else to say tonight that God is fellowshipping with me. Huh? Brother, God couldn't do that. God didn't have no interest in a tabernacle to dwell in. He wanted to use that to reveal His Son to them. God said He couldn't dwell in a temple that was made with hands. It's silly to try to build the God of this universe a house out of brick and stone and gold. It's ridiculous. It was all for a purpose to reveal the forthcoming of His Son and the work that He would perform and what He would do. But after Jesus Christ came and died upon that cross, revealed the Father to us, whenever He regenerated our spirits, birthed us into His family, adopted us as sons of God, put us into His family, brother, then and only then did man gain the ability to really fellowship with God. Why do you think tonight we're not offering lambs, goats, and bulls upon a fiery altar of sacrifice tonight? Because we can have fellowship with God without that. Because the Son of God has died for us. And we ever get that straight in our minds, we'll learn what revival really is. We can gather here for year after year after year and fellowship together as the saints of God. We can preach, we can pray, we can shout, we can do any number of things you want to list. But brother, until God begins to fellowship with us and to move amongst us, we'll never know what it's like to experience the reality of the power of God. And there's nothing that you and I can do to bring it down except walk in the light. And you don't experience that fellowship as much here as you will in the closet. We gather together as the saints of God to worship God. And brother, I love all y'all. We have a good time. And that's wonderful. But I want to tell you something. When I get alone and I got to know something and I go to digging for it, that's when that fellowship from God becomes real. Because I ain't... My mother's sitting back there and she'll tell you, I didn't make that good of grades. I don't have enough intelligence to go through this book and to get something for you without having to dig and to prod and to study. And boy, when you get in a place and you're just reading and you're meditating on the Word of God, and then all of a sudden God begins fellowship with you. I mean, I don't hear no voices coming out of holes in the wall. I don't see no flashing lights. I don't get slapped. But boy, all of a sudden God shows you something you've never seen before. I mean, backwoods country, ignorant little preacher, God opened his eyes and let him see something. That's what the light does. First act God did in creation, He said, let there be light. Huh? Boy, whenever God begins to fellowship with you and opens up your spiritual mind and lets you see something, boy, that's when the fellowship of God fellowshipping with you becomes real and becomes sweet. Huh? Brother, that's the miracle of the standard. Fellowship with Almighty God. And a man's habitual character, the way that he acts and carries himself, is the real indicator of what he is. Whether he's walking in the light or he's walking in darkness. Because you see, your actions are going to reflect whichever one you happen to be walking in at the time. The miracle is not just in the fellowship. Look, let's continue. He said, if we'll do that, if we'll walk in the light, we'll have fellowship with Him, one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Huh? All sin. A-double-L. I hear a lot of people going about and they worry about, well, I'm worried if I've created the unpardonable sin or I've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. If you're worried about it, believe me, you hadn't ever done it. That's the first indicator you hadn't done it because you're worried about it. The one who does it is not worried about it whatsoever. Amen. He said the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. The only way to stop the cleansing from all sin is to do away with the blood. And wouldn't the devil love to do that tonight? Huh? Huh? Now let me ask you something. A lot of us, here's what we think that verse is saying. If I'll keep His commandments, If I'll walk the straight and narrow way, and if I'll just perform this way, then the blood of His Son will cleanse me from all sin. Let me ask you this. If you can keep all those commandments and all those rules, why do you need cleansing from your sin to start with? That's a contradiction. He said, if you walk in the light, that's all. Then the blood of His Son cleanses you from all sin. You know something? When you first got saved, you were living in sin, but you didn't know it. You were living in ignorant sin. I went to church for months, and I'd hear the preacher teach and preach on things, and I would realize that certain things in my life were wrong, but I'd been performing them for weeks after I got saved, so I was living in ignorant sin. Sins of ignorance. How'd I get forgiveness of those sins? I was walking in the light, and the whole time, the blood of His Son was cleansing me of those sins. Now, religious people don't like that, and the devil don't either. But when you're walking in that light, then, brother, the blood is keeping you clean. And the blood of Christ begins to cleanse you. Not just forgive you, but to clean you up. And then it begins to cleanse you of that power of sin that wants to make you do the opposite of what God wants you to do. And it begins to cleanse you of your practical practice of sin. And John deals a whole lot with that. His blood will cleanse you of that sin as you're walking in the light. And that's a prerequisite. We want to line up with this. We want to line up with that. If you just get in the light, God will line you up. You see, that's the problem we've got today. So many folks are trying to line themselves up, and they think whenever they get themselves lined up, that they're just what they ought to be. Best thing for you to do is just get in the light and let God line you up. Then you'll be what God wants you to be. Huh? The miracle of God's standard. God is light. We were born in darkness, separated from God by our sins. Inherited from my mama, my daddy, their mama and their daddy, and you can trace the family genealogy all the way back to Adam. We were all born in darkness in this world. But God, who is light, shined forth the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus Christ, revealed that truth to us, birthed us into His kingdom, His family, adopted us as His sons, established us with a new beginning, and set us off walking in the light. Jesus told Nicodemus, He said, man loves darkness rather than the light because his deeds were evil. And they shunned the light. They shunned the light. You see, man is happier today with his religion than he is with a relationship with God. You can have your religion. I want to have fellowship with God. I want to walk in the light. And we talk about the light of the things that God has revealed to us, and there is a truth in that reality. But there is a light, which is a glorious relationship that gives you fellowship with God. You see, that's what makes our God different than all the other gods in this world. Muhammad and Buddha, the Muslims, all those folks, that's what makes us different. We can have a fellowship and experience with our God that results in joy. That's the reason He wrote this epistle. You know what most religions of this world require for you to afflict yourself? And you know most religions of this world cause people sorrow and pain rather than giving them joy and life. The reason that our faith is different, I don't even want to use the word religion, is because we can have a fellowship in the light with our God. That's what makes the difference. Where are you at tonight? Are you walking in the light? Are you walking in religion? Are you walking in darkness? John said, you can say you have fellowship with Him all you want to, but if you're walking in the darkness of this world, you're a liar, and you're not able to perform the truth. A man cannot live for God until he first of all gives himself to God and gets saved. You can forget it. You can act like a Christian, you can be a puppet all you want to, but you will never, ever be able to live a Christian life until you get in the light that shines from the throne of God. Huh? There's going to come a day in that new creation when we're not going to need the sun, the moon, the stars. Why? Because the Bible said He is going to be the light of that world. Won't even be any more nighttime. Why? Because you can't put out that light. Huh? One prerequisite for fellowship. Jesus Christ had to come. Become our mediator and connect us with God. Second prerequisite is an agreement with God's standards.